This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Actor Mark Duplass apologizing to his fans tonight after sparking a nationwide backlash with his now-deleted tweet. So here is what he wrote on Twitter. Fellow liberals, if you are interested at all in crossing the aisle, you should consider following Ben Shapiro. I don't agree with him on much, but he's a genuine person who once helped me for no other reason than to be nice. He doesn't bend the truth. His intentions are good. That started a really big debate on Twitter that got pretty ugly. Here now on this and many other things tonight, Ben Shapiro, editor-in-chief of DailyWire.com. Ben, good to see you tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so he wrote that. He then got a ton of heat all over Twitter from people digging up stuff that you wrote several years ago that you have since deleted or said that you regretted saying for one reason or another. And everything in Hollywood came at him. He's not a particularly well-known name, I don't think, to most people. Talk to me a little bit about that part of it, and then I'm going to put up some of his apology.
Yeah, well, I think that Mark's a nice guy from what I can tell. He came into our offices a couple of months ago because he was doing a project about guns and gun control, and he wanted kind of the right-wing Second Amendment views. So he came in, we talked for about an hour and a half, and then he took off. I told him at the time that it's probably good that people don't know that we met, since folks in Hollywood are not particularly fond of people on the right, and any association with people on the right is not going to work out well. He sort of tweeted that out unsolicited. I hadn't talked with him since that day, actually. And the blowback on Twitter was from a lot of his Hollywood friends, a lot of people on the far left. And just as we've seen many, many times, the sort of mob mentality rules on Twitter, and he promptly deleted that tweet after probably an hour or two. And then this morning, he put up a full apology. That was after I texted him last night, by the way, and told him that I didn't mind that he deleted the tweet, considering he still has to work in this town, and Hollywood isn't fond of people who are friendly to anybody across the aisle. He put up a full apology for ever having suggested that I was a nice person who had views worth listening to. So that was wonderful.
You said he got ratioed on Twitter. Explain what that means.
So what ratioed means is when you have a tweet that is liked more than it is actually, that is liked fewer times than it is commented upon, that's called being ratioed. It's a pretty good indicator that people are angry at you. So his original tweet got ratioed, and then his apology got ratioed. So he sort of got
unbelievable.
Both coming and going.
Let me give people a sense of what all this is. Let's put up what his apology said. So after he said, you know, Ben's actually a nice guy, we don't really agree on everything, but he's a decent person, and you might want to check him out. Then he comes back with this. So that tweet was a disaster on many levels. I want to be clear that I in no way endorse hatred, racism, homophobia, xenophobia, or any such form of intolerance. My goal has always been to spread unity, understanding, and kindness, but I am going to make mistakes along the way. So this is his mea culpa for ever having said that, anybody might want to check you out. Then Tom Arnold, who just, you know, appears to want to weigh in on pretty much everything these days, said this. Put up the Tom Arnold tweet, because this is sort of indicative of the kind of heat that Ben got during this whole exchange. Just make sure none of these little F-ers jumps on my back. They're hair pullers. At Ben Shapiro, 5'2", looks and sounds prepubescent, but technically a man. So for purposes of brawl and all the kicks headed toward his teeth and face, he shall be deemed a man. Pray Tucker Carlson gets here. What is that? Where does this come from?
I have no idea. I mean, this is a guy who once had a tattoo of Roseanne Barr, so I can't speak to his mental health. But the fact that he is considered a member of good standing in Hollywood is pretty incredible. And again, what this really is about is that it wouldn't matter if it were me. I mean, if Mark Duplass had tweeted out about you, if he had tweeted out about anybody on Fox News, anybody who's perceived to be of the right, anybody who's perceived to be mildly conservative outside of people who have endorsed Democrats for 2018, he would have been ratioed just as hard by members of the left, and he probably would have deleted the tweet and then apologized for it. Amazing how in 24 hours I went from a nice guy with good intentions who tries to speak the truth to a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe, which, you know, frankly, I'm getting a little bit used to, considering that everybody on the left assumes that everyone who is not on the left is a racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
You're my defender. You fight for me. I will remember. You're all I need. You are my healer. My remedy. Against the power of the unknown. And I will not bend.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. And on the other side, Dr. Herb London back with us, feeling better. He's all spunky, ready to go, leaping tall buildings with a single bound. So he's back to his usual form. Dr. London, of course, the president of the London Center for Policy Research and author. And one of those experts that we love to have, especially to help straighten out what happened after this European tour from President Trump. Dr. Herb, good to have you with us.
Well, pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Bill.
Well, let's talk about this European tour. I thought it overall, I mean, everybody's still, you know, now we got the Helsinki derangement syndrome going, but let's walk through. Let's go back and talk about NATO, and I thought was just an outstanding success of what our president, how he represented us on the international stage there, got our allies, much to the disdain and concern of, you know, the very nervous mainstream media that he was insulting the allies. Forget the fact that the allies have been insulting us for a number of years.
And the president made it perfectly clear, you've got obligations to live up to. You talked about the 2% rule, live up to the 2% rule.
Right.
I think that the president handled himself very effectively. As far as the summit is concerned, I think the press has made a mountain out of a molehill. Mm-hmm. But this is not uncommon when it comes to Donald Trump. And I think that what the president has to be a little more careful about is he must be somewhat more adroit in the kind of language that he uses.
Right.
The difficulty is that there's a certain kind of ambiguity in the way Trump speaks. Mm-hmm. His vocabulary is limited. A consequence is very often to misunderstand or mistake what he is trying to say.
Yeah, it's one thing when you're in a boardroom, no doubt, and you're the CEO of a company. But if he doesn't get it by now, after 500-plus days, well, you know, let's go back to the campaign as well. He is so scrutinized, and he's under the microscope for any exception, any misinterpretation possibly that they can do. But I think there was something, Herb, that bothered me about the Helsinki summit and coming out of it. And what bothered me was the way Donald Trump came out of it. Either he was very tired, or there was something that Putin shared with him that knocked him off balance. He did not seem to be the same President Trump that I knew going into that summit.
He was certainly not as assertive as he was with the European allies.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. But there is no doubt we don't have a kind of pro-Russian attitude in the American government. It's patently absurd. Mm-hmm. Look, there are areas of potential cooperation, and you want to look at those carefully,
exactly,
including the anti-terrorist activities that the Russians could engage in. But as far as the United States and Syria, the United States and nuclear weapons, the United States and North Korea, we know we can't count on the Russians.
Right.
And I think that any sensible person who's been in public life understands that.
I mean, you had President Barack Obama, you know, even before he was elected the first term, he was saying he was willing to meet with any leader of any country without precondition. Boy, this has been so scrutinized because of, you know, the derangement syndrome that has been taking place by the Democrats and the deep state, which includes some Republicans as well. Their minds are totally blown up because they didn't expect Donald Trump to win. And their only excuse is now is the only reason he won in the narrative they're trying to, you know, sell to the American public is because Donald Trump was in bed with the Russians.
In fact, immediately after the campaign, when Hillary Clinton lost, there was a book that was written, I can't remember the name of the author. It was a chronicle of what happened during the course of the campaign. Mm-hmm. And what Hillary Clinton said was fascinating. She said, we've got to do everything we can to undermine Donald Trump. And the way to do that is with the Russian card.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
This was a Democratic strategy right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They wanted to oust this president, find a way to undermine the Trump presidency, and to use Russia as a way of making that happen.
Well, this is form and pattern for the Democrats. Hillary Clinton, the DNC, is invalidating the populace. Either you go along with them or you're out of the club. You're negated. You're marginalized. And this is what mainstream America and the forgotten man and woman decided to respond to when they voted for Donald Trump into office, did they not?
Well, they understand something about the swamp. I mean, people in the United States understand intuitively what is going on in D.C. Mm-hmm. You've got these guys marching up and down K Street, collecting a couple of million dollars a year for lobbying various countries and various industries. And the average guy is saying, what's going on here? My taxes are paying for all of this. And I think that the average person has a much better grasp of what is happening in D.C. than anyone could have imagined. And Trump became the voice of that common man.
Well, without a doubt, and a grateful voice. I mean, look what he's done in his first 500-plus days for this country. And meanwhile, when you look at the meddling that took place, I mean, you know, the focus is so much on Russia that anything that has to do with Russia, everybody's got to be nervous about, unless you happen to be a Democrat or Barack Obama or somebody on that side or part of the deep state, you can get away with it. But what about the meddling that the Democrats themselves did? What about the meddling that the deep state did here domestically? To me, far more significant than even what our intelligence community said, what the Russians tried to do, which bottom line did not, according to Barack Obama himself and the intelligence community, did not change one vote, Herb.
Well, this guy Brennan is one of the most odious characters to ever appear on the public scene. And when he lost his job and then gets on TV and says that the president is engaged in treasonous behavior and must be impeached, I'm saying to myself, what planet does he live on?
Yeah.
He has no understanding of either his role or some sort of humble view of what the role of a government servant is. And he never conducted himself properly as CIA director, and certainly is not doing so now.
Well, we know his background. Why would we be surprised that that would be his knee-jerk response?
I am surprised because even someone like Brennan has an obligation to the agency that he works for. And that is true with so many. The people at the top became thoroughly politicized because of this desire to undermine Trump. Yeah. They lost sight of the fact they represent a CIA or an FBI. And as a consequence, they forgot the integrity and the history of these organizations. They stand not for an individual. They stand for the entire agency they represented. And that has been lost. And it's a terrible tragedy to the United States.
Well, and I agree with you. That's what I grew up with as well, Herb. The same, you know, the same idea that they stood for the institution to support the, you know, we the people, and they've abandoned that, and it's scary. What you hear, you know, coming out of the mouth of John Brennan and Peter Strzok and the leadership of the FBI and other three-letter institutions in our government, it is a sad day, no doubt. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Dr. Herb London, president of London Center for Policy Research, right here on Bill Martinez Live.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
It's Bill Martinez live.
I'm going home.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Dr. Herb London, the president of the London Center for Policy Research, continues. He is the author of the book Leading from Behind, the Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs. For people who embraced the Obama Doctrine, it is quite a shock in contrast to see the leadership style of one Donald J. Trump, who is not leading from behind. Thank God, according to NATO, they're glad that Donald Trump showed up to hold him accountable, not only for 2%, Herb, but as he was walking out the door, and also that 2% is, hey, we're not going to wait till 2025. This is 2% like now. And by the way, because of the impending threats, we need to be at 4%. So if you want to think about holding off a little bit, we'll talk about holding off the 4%. But right now, you need to get a 2% moshi-skoshi.
I think that's exactly right. And you have to recognize the fact that the Russians have been playing a very dangerous game in the Baltics with Finlandization and putting a lot of pressure on the leadership in those countries. And on top of it, they are putting tremendous pressure in the Ukraine through the obviously the takeover in Crimea. So the Russians are playing a dangerous game. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I think is possible, the United States now has a little leverage with the Russians and can say to them, look, if you wanted to maintain some stability in the Middle East, one way to make that happen is to peel off from your arrangements with Iran and Hezbollah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Act independently. Mm-hmm. Don't allow them to be dictating to you and to determine what the Shia Crescent will look like from Tehran to the Mediterranean. If in fact that happens, that would be a major concession and at least the beginning of building blocks between the United States and Russia.
Herb, what you just laid out, help me understand what Angela Merkel was thinking, you know, by abandoning her NATO responsibilities and allies by doing a backdoor deal with the former chancellor for this pipeline to Russia.
Well, you have to remember that Schroeder took on this position, recognizing the fact he was paid an awful lot of money, and he is, of course, responsible for the pipeline that is going into Western Europe. The Western Europeans are very much dependent on that kind of natural gas. The United States has a lot of ways to deal with that issue. We have not been sufficiently, I think, initiative. We haven't taken the efficient initiative in making sure that the alternatives to natural gas from the Russians exist. And were that to happen, I think we'd create many alternatives and change the character of the arrangements that presently exist.
Who dropped the ball on that, Herb?
Well, it's very hard to say. I mean, I think the Europeans dropped the ball. I don't think the United States pushed hard enough. I don't think we took advantage of the natural gas finding in the Mediterranean and convert that natural gas into liquid gas, which could be transported across the Mediterranean. I think there are lots of things that should have happened and did not.
Hmm. Well, it's, you know, when you think about it, that... you know, in terms of the abandonment of the NATO allies, and I'm glad Trump called her out on that, I almost sense, Herb, that the other leaders of NATO, they saw it happening, they knew there was a conflict of interest there, and it was almost like they stuck their head in the sand, and then here comes Donald Trump, you know, like a bull in a china shop, calling it for what it is, and I just kind of had this feeling that they were saying, thank God, Donald Trump is here, and this, you know, leading from behind by the United States concept is out the door, and Donald Trump did everybody a favor by calling Angela Merkel out on this.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would raise this point, Bill, because when interviewed, almost all of the G7 leaders, and including many of the leaders throughout Europe, kept saying, we need leadership.
Yes.
We need leadership. They recognize full well that it's Trump that's providing that leadership. And they may be very reluctant to accept his style, his mannerisms, his often boorish behavior. But at the same time, they recognize the fact that the United States is asserting herself in a manner that makes sense for European hegemony.
Yeah, and look what happened. I mean, you get people on the left, and Herb, I don't know how they go there. I mean, it's like you abandon reason. How did Donald Trump weaken NATO when he brings billions of dollars into their coffers and the Secretary General for NATO, Stoltenberg, says, thank God for Donald Trump. I mean, you know, for all the billions of dollars that he brought, to me, that strengthens NATO. That doesn't weaken it by any means.
I think you've got it exactly right. And I think in the end, I think NATO forces will come to appreciate that. Certainly in Eastern Europe, they understand Trump and do appreciate him, even though so many in the American press corps continue to assert that there is no democracy in Eastern Europe, which is nonsensical.
Exactly. Well, in London, Theresa May, in a lot of heat, does she survive?
I think that it's going to be very difficult for her. But again, it is, she's offered Donald Trump a terrific opportunity. If, in fact, the Brits do come up with a plan to get out of the European Union, get leave, this is their Brexit call.
Yes.
If that were to happen, Trump should be on the phone with Theresa May immediately saying, you know what, I've got a deal that you cannot resist.
Exactly.
It is a deal between the United States and the UK. We're going to make this into a free trade zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you will benefit from it in a way that you did not benefit from Brexit.
Exactly. She'll be a hero and survive. Otherwise, you know, Boris and company comes in and she's out of there.
No question.
No.
I mean, well, you know, it'd be a real tragedy if,
right,
in fact, we had the Labour Party emerge as the leadership in the UK. It would be a real tragedy.
Exactly. Well, getting back to Helsinki, bottom line here with Trump and with Putin, 4 hours roughly, I've heard 2.5 to 4 hours of time together. A lot of things exchanged there that we may or may not know about. No hot mics there, so we didn't hear anything coming out other than what was presented in the joint conference. And Americans and, of course, the media jumped all over it because, you know, what kind of takeaways did they expect here, Herb, as you mentioned earlier? I mean, you want, you know, the United States talking to Russia. I mean, after all, these are the two nuclear powers. Donald Trump said 80-90% of the nuclear power resides in these two nations. It is critical for us to be talking, not to be at odds with one another.
And as I indicated to you earlier, it's important to find areas of overlap and ways in which potential cooperation could exist.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
And I think that part of the problem that Donald Trump has here, Herb, you can tell me if you see it differently, is that he, you know, almost like as much as Strzok has a worldview that there is no bias whatsoever, there was no way all these tweets that he put out had effect on his job, that he maintained objectivity in the number one law enforcement agency of the country. Donald Trump's worldview is being colored by his defense mechanism that his administration somehow is invalid because of what the Democrats and the deep state insist on and their threat of impeachment.
Look, if you were to watch CNN each night, you'd come away saying that the president has already engaged in treasonous behavior.
Right.
You would really come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's outrageous, thoroughly outrageous. The left in the United States has hardened its position. What they want to do is to do everything in their power to undermine Trump and to demonstrate the effectiveness of the deep state. If this were to happen, it is ostensibly a coup d'etat in America.
Right. And that's what we keep hearing. I mean, this is seditious. Bottom line, with all that's going on right now, and of course, quite contrary to what even Hillary Clinton said, that, you know, were you prepared? She was asked specifically, are you prepared to support the winner? And Donald Trump was the only one that hesitated. She was very quick to say, I'm all in, and look at her. She's all out.
Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
there's someone who's quite trustworthy.
Well, Dr. Herb, tell everybody where they can go to...
It's londoncenter.org. Bill, always a pleasure to be with you.
Dr. Herb London on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Herb. Take care.
Take care.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
With a recession ending,
if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of Branson, Missouri, as reports are that now at least 13 people are known to have been killed when a duck boat capsized and sank on a lake there last evening. This woman saw it from the shore and said it happened right after a thunderstorm had erupted.
And it knocked out power lines and trees were knocked over and across roadways.
Divers continue their search for the missing in the waters of Table Rock Lake this morning. Iowa cleaning up after dozens of tornadoes ripped through the state yesterday. At least 27 reported in central Iowa, one of them tearing through the Vermeer manufacturing plant where 3,000 people were working in Pella.
There is significant structural damage and personal property damage across the Vermeer campus.
That's a company spokesman. Across the state, dozens were reported injured, but none were reported killed. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
It's Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, on behalf of We the People, committed to pursue the truth no matter where it leads, welcome aboard 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you along, sharing a part of your day with us. Eddie Scarry joins us now, media reporter at the Washington Examiner, based in Washington, D.C., author of the celebrated Fraud and Fiction, The Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for joining us. You're seeing something that I saw in your recent column that I was going, okay, who's going to call this out? Of course, we don't expect the mainstream media to do this, but that is the media's apoplexy over the Trump European tour. It was going so well, I mean, that they were sitting there trying to contrive a story, whether it had to do with NATO or you know, in London, that Prince Charles and, you know, William didn't want to show up and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and then, of course, Trump, for whatever reason, decided to give them something after Helsinki. And they've been absolutely bonkers ever since.
Well, that's, I think you're even kind of getting into it when you say that he decided to give them something. What he gave them is the same thing he's been saying for the last year and a half. He is skeptical of the intelligence assessments. Oh, by the way, there is plenty of proof that they were monitoring him in ways that we've never seen before of a major major party candidate for president. We've seen that. We've seen that he is more willing to take a more positive and optimistic approach towards Russia, that he wants to work with them, and yet, again, he's been saying this for the last year and a half. He said nothing that he has not said for the last year and a half while he was in front of Putin, and yet the one thing that you keep hearing over and over again is that he sided with Putin at the summit. Well, that's actually not true either. What he said was that the intelligence agency says this and that Putin denies it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all he said.
Yeah, and maybe he should have left it that way. But my sense is, though, Eddie, and I'm not sure if you're getting the same sense, but I've talked to several people, is that when you watch him, and, you know, I'm a total guy, you know, when I'm looking at somebody, I look at their body language. You know, Donald Trump did not seem the same. Something happened in that 2.5-3 hour meeting, whatever length it was, because you hear everything from 2.5 to 4 hours that it took place. But something happened in there that really rattled the president. And I don't think, I mean, it was enough the Democrats picked up on it, but their purview, or at least their worldview, led them to believe that maybe Putin said, hey, I got the goods on you. And maybe it shook Trump. I don't think that was the deal. I think that, you know, what you just said, and that is that the things that Donald Trump has held, because the facts aren't there, and you would think for the home team he would have the facts, and he doesn't have the facts. And here comes a KGB, former KGB operative, who says, hey, let me give you a couple tidbits here of your operation and what you're dealing with. And I sense it's probably more of that than what obviously the Democrats would want us to believe.
Well, I think you are right about his whole demeanor, his everything about him. I think was actually, it was a weak performance by the president to an extent where he, I imagine, should be, and I would guess is, embarrassed about what happened. However, I also can't imagine that he would have gone into this whole would have had the meeting at all if he had thought that would have been the outcome. I can't. I mean, that just doesn't seem like him.
No, he got surprised. He got surprised on this. I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't know if that had anything to do with the meeting. I don't know if he just simply was tired. I don't know. What I do know is that the main criticism that we're coming, that the national media, like, you know, I watched the summit live, and I kept thinking, this is weird. He seems kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's what we were going to hear about the entire time. Instead, we're hearing about how he didn't directly insult Putin to his face. He should have told him no more meddling with the country. And I mean, I don't know what, when you come out of two hours worth of negotiations, whatever they talk about in private, that's exactly a productive thing to do. I mean, we've seen past presidents do that. It reminds me of when former President Obama, at the time when he was president, he had the meeting with Netanyahu, and he told him, he basically scolded him and said, you know, you've got to stop these settlements. We have to have a Tuesday, you're going to have a two-state solution. He said this publicly in front of cameras, in front of Netanyahu, to his face.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a sour relationship the entire time that he was in office. I mean,
exactly.
I just don't think that's the way. I mean, we've certainly seen that's not the way the president does things. If he's going to criticize someone, he never does it to their face, other than when he went to NATO, where he wasn't really criticizing them so much as asking them to, something that they have nothing to lose is just to pitch in more money for their own defense. That's not exactly a big ask or a big critique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen to the response from the people. And this is what, you know, kind of is frustrating for me, is a small minority of voices are being so critical of this president about NATO that, oh, he insulted the NATO leaders. No, he didn't. He elevated them. And look at their response. They are grateful for what he did, that he is actually strengthened. He hasn't weakened NATO by them having more money. The Secretary General of NATO even applauded such. And then on top of that, lest we forget, is that I believe these leaders were grateful that Trump called out Angela Merkel for that Russian backdoor deal, oil deal that she did.
I think that's true. I actually was speaking with a reporter who was there. You know, he works at a big national paper,
mm-hmm.
but he's not an unfair guy. And he was saying, you know, I was giving him my theory, which is that the reason why Trump takes a much harsher tone with allies, particularly in the case of NATO, is because he's not asking for much. And it's something that if they give it, they have nothing to lose, which is simply kick in the money that they said they would for their own defense. That's
right.
Not a lot. That's pennies. Whereas if he talks with China, for example, North Korea or Russia, he takes a much nicer tone because those people have everything to lose if they give in anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different thing. And this reporter I was talking to, he said, actually, no, I think I was at NATO. And he said, it just seemed like he knew that he had them over a barrel. He knew that the cards were in his hand. He had all the cards, and that they, he had them over a barrel. I think, you know, the thing with Russia, though, as far as this meeting went, again, I think this concept that he should have insulted Putin to his face is ridiculous.
Yeah.
At the same time, I still acknowledge that he gave it a weak performance. if he's going to invite Putin to the White House in the fall, like he said he's going to do, I would expect a much different result. And if we see the same thing again, that would be possibly more, we should be a little bit more concerned if we see a similar episode play out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in any situation, we're going to have good days and bad days. But again, I think there's more to this than we are, you know, been led to believe. And certainly the media is more pouncing on this because they're trying to invalidate the Trump administration and, you know, say, see, we told you he was weak. I mean, for all the good things he has been doing in foreign policy, my goodness, I mean, one out of maybe a dozen things that are suspect. But again, I think that the facts are yet to be understood here. And instead of getting behind Trump, which has been a problem from day one, whether it's his own FBI, his own intelligence community, I think there's something there that, bothered him. And it wasn't that, all of a sudden, Putin had pictures of him or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is such a weird concept. You know, there's a theory on the left now in liberal media that Trump has been a Russian asset since the 80s. I just can't buy it. I think, you know, there's too much. You got to ignore a lot of stuff that happened between that. He was friends with Hillary. He was friends with Obama. And sure. This idea that he suddenly was going to flip on a dime to run for president. No, that's just it. None of it makes sense. The one more thing I would say about that, you were talking about the media and how they're totally against Trump. I mean, that's true. That's in my book, Fraud and Fiction, which people can get on Amazon.com. But something your radio listeners have probably kept hearing over and over again, and this happens to me all the time, is the media keep repeating this quote from Trump where he called NATO, or he called the EU, he called them foes. Mm-hmm. He called the EU a foe, and then he goes and sucks up to Russia. Well, I had to go back, because I missed when Trump said that quote, so I had to go back and look at it. What he said was, we consider the European Union a foe in terms of trade, but we also consider Russia a foe. We consider China the same way. You know, but all you hear is the EU, he calls them a foe, and he's calling our allies foes. He said it in terms of trade, and he said it about Russia and China as well.
Well, once again, this is all part of the fake news and selective editing on behalf of the mainstream media that is supposed to help us have obtain some sort of objective viewpoint. Eddie Scarry, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Eddie, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the insight. Appreciate it.
Bill, thanks a lot.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Technology is changing the car buying process, as many now start their search online. In fact, a recent survey found that 44% of consumers are comfortable shopping for a car via the Internet. If you're planning to buy a car this summer, consider exploring digital tools designed to improve your car buying experience. Bank of America's mobile car shopping tool makes shopping for and financing a car easier and more efficient, so you can spend more time enjoying the summer. John Schleck for Bank of America.
Car shoppers can now seamlessly integrate their shopping and financing experience all in one place, either on the go or in the comfort of their own homes. Using the mobile car shopping tool, our clients can actually select new or used cars all from participating dealers, estimate a monthly payment, and even apply for a Bank of America car loan on the specific car they're looking at, all prior to their dealer visit.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com.
This
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Whether online or any one of the 280 affiliates that we have and ways to connect with Bill Martinez Live, thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, with all that's been continuing to evolve in our pluralistic society today, in terms of Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, parents making choices over, I want a male over a female, and intervening with the whole process of fertility and all. This latest story is going to be a bit rattling, but yet not surprising. And that is the Nullifield Council on Bioethics said that changing the DNA of a human embryo could be morally permissible if it was in the future's child interest and did not add to the kinds of inequalities that already divide society. What we're talking about was what was reported by The Guardian, that the United Kingdom Ethics Body released a report giving the green light for genetically modifying babies. You heard me right. And with us to talk more about it and to break it down is the Vice President of Public Policy at Focus on the Family. Carrie Gordon Earl joins us now. Carrie, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Hi, Bill. Good to be with you. Thanks for the call.
Well, great to have you here to help us understand what's going on. No big surprise here. I mean, we've been on this trajectory, as I mentioned, from selling baby parts and interfering with the pregnancy process and fertility process. This seems like, something that we've been warned about and knew that was coming.
Absolutely. The temptation to tinker is in our genes, if you will, as fallen humankind. So,
right.
So what we have here with this UK report is, again, that this bioethics body basically saying, you know, we've looked at this and we think it's going to be okay if you have some ethical safeguards to tinker with the DNA of human embryos during experimentation. So we are talking at the earliest stage. The experiments must stop by 7 days. And the embryos be destroyed. But what we're seeing in the UK is actually also happening in China. This UK report is likely influenced by the fact that the government there a couple of years ago granted a license to a London-based research company to do this specific type of research. So you're going to see these stories popping up. What you need to remember is it violates the sanctity of human life. Even if the intent is good, we have crossed the bright moral line.
Exactly. Well, help people understand this a little bit more. So, you know, give us the 101 class on bioethics here. I think it's interesting that you have an institution, you know, now they are the arbiters of what is moral and ethical.
Well, and that's been the struggle with bioethics that really goes back to at least the 1960s with abortion and assisted suicide. But the idea that just because you can do something, does that mean that you should? It's an age-old question there. So what we have here is a good intent. There are people who we know probably who have inherited genetic disease traits, genes, and they struggle with that. They may have that physical condition demonstrating in their body. They may not want to pass that on to their children. So this is about 5 to 7% of the population. It's an honorable goal to try to fix that. But the question is, how are you going to fix it? Mm. And what the path they're going here is called germline genetic modification. And what that means is in tinkering, taking out genes you don't like, putting in genes you do, you are changing that for generations to come. It's not just that single patient. It's every subsequent generation. And when you do that, you better not make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And when this particular process that they're using, they really don't know the unintended consequences. It's not safe for the embryo who's going to be destroyed. It may not be safe down the road, and it may cause more DNA damage than they had even expected. Now, the good news is God always gives us choices. Yeah. And we are seeing success with other types of gene therapy where we're dealing with people's somatic cells, and that's their non-reproductive. That's like you have a condition. We do changes to your cell DNA in order to try to alleviate that condition. It stays with you. It's not passed on to future generations with uncertainty. But in the same way with embryonic stem cells, we saw that adult stem cells, without destroying embryos, really has better success for patients. It is the very same thing here. God always gives us choices, and we need to go the moral route.
Okay. So with God's choice, what are we talking about specifically in terms, are we talking about Down children specifically, you know, those traits? We're certainly not talking altering the sex of a child.
Well, that's two very separate areas. It's possible, and I haven't seen any reports of clinical efforts or even experiments with Down syndrome. That's kind of a different topic. But we're mostly talking things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, maybe breast cancer, where you know there's a gene that's been identified that's being passed down, rather than trying to change it in the embryo and then implanting that embryo into a woman's womb, we would just treat the patient rather than trying to change subsequent generations. But when you talk about the opportunity to alter, it's a very short distance between I'm going to change genes for disease to I'm going to change genes to what I like and don't like. And let's enhance this embryo to be tall, blonde, blue-eyed, male, athletic. You know, again, that technology can be used for ways that it maybe wasn't intended. And once it's on the market, you don't really have control over that. So the whole idea of designer babies, again, it's been around a while. This is just one more study, one more report that says, hey, that might not be a bad idea. Not the designer part, but again, to try to deal with that disease, the suffering. We want to do that. Jesus healed people. That's a good, honorable thing to do. But he didn't destroy other humans in order to do it. There's a model for us as Christians. We need to be that voice into the world.
So in terms of this pluralistic worldview versus a Christian worldview, I mean, this is a clash here. And, you know, again, remind everybody where the divide is between these two worldviews.
Well, that's a good question. And I use a really simple theory for me, and that is, if a therapy, an experiment, a treatment violates or destroys or threatens another human life, it's not ethical. Mm-hmm. If you have to experiment on and potentially destroy or knowing you're going to destroy a tiny human being, that's not ethical in a Christian pro-life sanctity worldview. That's just not acceptable. So you run into that with people. There may be therapies down the road, Bill, that could help you or me or children or grandchildren. And are we going to stand and say, that you got that therapy by killing embryos? I'm not sure I can take that.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, have that be a ethical dilemma for us as believers. That's possible down the road as well.
So, again, what the Guardian reported on in this UK ethics body releasing this report, giving the green light for genetically modifying babies, is that right now what the Newfield, is it Newfield? Is Newfield Council on Bioethics? What they're doing is they're killing embryos in the process to be able to do this, right? And saying it's morally permissible.
Right. What they're doing is giving the green light. They're basically saying they're opening the door. Okay, this is being done. We've looked at it. We think it's okay if you have some safeguards with it. They're not actually doing the research, but other groups are. Mm. Now, fortunately, in the United States, Congress has set up some funding limits and bans that really prevent our tax dollars from being used for this. Now, that doesn't prevent private corporations and enterprises from doing that overseas and perhaps even in the U.S., but at least at this point, there's some good safeguards on our tax dollars not being used to destroy embryos, and that's good news.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's also a call for the midterm election. Mm-hmm. Midterm, fewer people vote. Your vote has more pull. You need to be engaged in the midterm elections and decide locally, state, and nationally who is going to represent you on issues like this.
This is really... Is this coming as a bit of a surprise in terms of its timing? I mean, I know it's been around, but interesting that a timing that right before the midterms that this would come out.
Well, this is actually tied, I think, more toward a new germline editing technique that was developed a few years ago. And so far, that's been used more in non-human organisms with pretty limited results. It's been used in more ethical environments like agriculture, studying human disease models, but not killing embryos. But now they are using that in China and in the UK, this particular method, to pull out genes they don't like and put in genes they do. So it really is manipulation. Now, again, the motive may be good, but what are you doing with that? So I think it's really more the development of this new technique and that expanding the human embryos. I know that the experiments in the UK have to stop at 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want these embryos to grow. They want to just be experimenting on them. And within 7 days, if the embryo hasn't been destroyed, they destroy them. So, again, we're back to the same type of research that was embryonic stem cell, which is still going on to some degree, even though there have been virtually no clinical trials that have had any success at all. So,
So at what cost? And as you say, what is yet to for us to understand is what kind of unintended consequences go with this process. I mean, just because you alter one cell, could it possibly affect an adjoining cell or another cell in the process?
Oh, absolutely. And that is what's so problematic about this. Your intent is to prevent disease, but the way that genes are distributed in our bodies, not all of us who have the same genes are going to have the same disease. So you could end up going in and cutting and pasting and altering a genetic makeup of an embryo that was totally normal, that had no disease at all, that was going to be played out in their life. You don't know what's going to happen with that. So you could end up with just mutilating embryos for no reason. Now, right now, again, they're being destroyed early in the process, which is very morally problematic. But let's say they start implanting them, you start having children that are born, you don't know what that genetic tinkering has done to them and to their future generations. That's the whole thing with the germline, Bill. We are talking about for every generation to come, you've made a change, and we are not God. We do not know what the unintended consequences
exactly
are going to be like.
Well, we got to leave it right there, and the conversation will continue.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors.